Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Welcome everyone to the Men's Room and myself, Adi Oladipo, my sidekick, the great Rory Jennings. This series is sponsored and we're lucky for it to be sponsored by Movember, which means we're happy to have conversations that most people might feel difficult, but that's what we do on the Men's Room. I just want to welcome in a former Chelsea defender, getting the smile in, TalkSport presenter Jason
Cundy. You guys, what's not to love?
It is.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for coming.
We're humbled for you to join us.
Thanks for inviting me, boys.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about a difficult conversation today. One that I think some people avoid just because it is a tough conversation to have, and that's the C word, cancer. Jason, let's discuss it from your own standpoint first before we kind of open it up. You had testicular cancer, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to us about that time frame, when and how.
So it was quite bizarre. So I just finished training. I was at Ipswich at the time, come home, and I was watching EastEnders. And like most blokes, I just happened to be sitting in a pair of baggy shorts, had my hands down my shorts, right? And as I'm just sitting there, just kind of, you know, doing what men do, I'm like, that don't feel right. There's something there. So one ball was noticeably bigger and heavier. Like there was a huge change, right? And I'm thinking, what's that all about, right? Well, but I had stitches in my leg, so I had an infection in my leg. I was on antibiotics. My leg was swollen, but I had stitches and a shin injury, but it was on that left-hand side. And I just put it down to that. I thought, they've got to be linked, right? It's on the left-hand side. My glands were up, stitches on antibiotics, same side. That's all it's going to be. So anyway, went to the physio the next day. And I showed him, and he kind of laughed because it was quite bizarre when you look at the difference between one was so much further down.
Really, that much?
It was really big, but I hadn't noticed it the day before. Right?
How old were you, Jason?
I was 26.
And you're 26.
Wow. 26. And the next day, I noticed it had grown again and become heavier. So this was like, these weren't just like little small changes. These were like massive changes. So I think the day before I noticed it, it wasn't there. 2 days later, it's now like, what's going on here? So anyway, on the Saturday, we were playing Oxford at home at Portman Road. And the club doctor came in. And I went down, so I had my socks on. I was in the team with my socks on, doing a massage, and he came in. And he said to me, you've got a bit of a problem with one of your testicles. I'm like, yeah, have a look at this. So, you know, footballers are like, we don't care. Shorts come down, he has a look. And his reaction was worrying. He looked at it, felt it, and said, you can't play. Jeez. I'm like, what? Hour and a half from kickoff, I'm playing, right? I'm playing. No, we got to get you in for a scan tonight. This is on a Saturday, right? Couldn't get me in for a scan on the Saturday. I played the game.
You played the game?
Played the game. I felt fine. Absolutely fine. Played the game. But he didn't want me to play. Spoke to him afterwards. And they'd organised the Monday morning, 9 o'clock, at a private hospital in Ipswich. It's going to be a scan, right? And during the game, there was a moment in the game where the ball went dead. It might have been an injury or something happened. And my mind just left the game for a second. I remember just look at the grass thinking, what is this? His reaction wasn't normal. It was a really, he was worried for me. I could tell. I wasn't worried for me. He was worried for me. Anyway, after the game, I spoke to him and he said, we're going to organise it for Monday morning, 9 o'clock. So I was living in London at the time, drove down the A12, turned up at the hospital, 9 o'clock on time. And as I pulled in, there were people waiting for me outside the hospital. Like, nurses were waiting for me.
This is alarm bells for you now,
so,
surely.
So now I'm, so over the weekend, what I'd done, that we didn't have the access to the internet back then, but I'd done as much homework as I could possibly do. And it felt like it was going to be testicular cancer. I didn't know that, but it felt like it.
Based on your doctor's reaction as well?
Yeah.
Like, did he amplify everything by his reaction?
Yeah. That's his job. It's his job. He didn't want me to play. He said, we need to get this man now into hospital.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Right? To have the scan now. Don't play. And I'm like, no, that's just not happening. That's just not happening. I'm playing, and I played. We won 1-0, by the way.
An assist, though?
No. Just take with a clean sheet.
Yeah.
But, on the Monday, when there were... I didn't realise they were waiting for me until I saw them outside, drove up, parked. As I'm walking in, they knew they were waiting. Then I realised you're waiting for me. So I walked in, kindly come through, straight through. Like this was not even like checking in. This is straight through. In you go, sat down on a bed. I'm in a bed within 3 minutes of getting up to the hospital, right? Sit down a bed, ultrasound, right? I'm just starting to feel a little uneasy about what's happening around me. No one said anything, but the whole experience of going through this process. Mm. Ultrasound on the ball, and within seconds, less than 10, yep, this has got to come out, right?
Wow.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Wow. By that point, Jason, you were already a father.
Yes. My he's 28 now. Yeah. Josh, yes, at that time, he would have been... God, you put me under pressure now. Four?
Right.
Four at the time? Something like that. Maybe younger?
You were told at 26 that one of your testicles is going to have to be removed.
Yeah, it's got to come. And I said, well, what do you mean it's got to come out? He said, well, there's a tumour in there. And as soon as you hear the word tumour, there's only one word you think of.
Yeah.
Right? It's cancer. Yeah. And I asked him the question, could this be cancerous? And I remember my palms. That was the thing that I remember the most. My palms were sweaty.
They're going to.
Whenever do you get sweaty palms? Like that, you don't really. I mean, the rest of your body sweats, but... And I said to him, could this be cancer? And he said, yes. So it's got to come out. So I had a conversation with the guys that were doing the ultrasound and the doctors that were there, and they wanted to do the operation as soon as possible. So this was the Monday, right?
Are you, and this is probably a bit left field, are you even thinking right then about your football career? Is that going through your mind?
There was a lot of things going through my mind at that time. A lot of people, I wasn't worried about dying. That thing was not even on my list.
Really?
No, not at all.
Funny,
that
was when you hear the C word.
Yeah.
That's what, death.
Yeah, synonymous. No, you do.
Death,
you're scared.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even on my list of things. There was a number of things that were all jumbling around in my mind at the time. And they wanted the operation as soon as possible. They wanted that afternoon. I thought, I can't do it that afternoon. So I had to drive back to London. And I remember speaking to... Spoke to my wife, she burst into tears. Spoke to my mum, dad burst into tears. Spoke to my brother, he laughed. So there was that balance of having a ball removed. But there was that such a balance between you having a ball removed.
Yeah.
You know, there is that maybe that was his
maybe
nervous.
Maybe he needed that as well. You know,
you're absolutely right. There was definitely an element of the two different between speaking to my wife and my mum and my dad, who obviously fear cancer, he's going to die. To my brother's like, you're having a ball removed. I mean, what's that all about? Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
He didn't mean it in the way that I perhaps just said, but there was a different reaction, right?
People cope, though, with, like, everybody has a mechanism to receive bad news. And his mechanism was humour. and to ridicule you because that was the nature of your relationship.
Yes, yes. And he didn't laugh because it's funny. He didn't laugh. No, it was one of those, you're in a ball removed. Yeah. That was the kind of reaction. But it was huge. My mum and dad, by the time I got back from Ipswich, where I was living in North London at the time, my parents were there, my wife was there, my little boy was there, and there were tears everywhere. And I'm like, this is not a time for tears. This is not where I'm at, right? I understand it, I get it. I understand the fears you have, but I wasn't there. I was quite calm and quite...
And you're what, 26 at the time?
Yeah.
So young,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, so you're so young. You're like the complete opposite. If someone says they got cancer, fit young footballer is not what I'm thinking, is it?
Yeah. You're so fit. In terms of, it's so unjust, isn't it? You've looked after yourself, you're an athlete, you've got to the very top of the game, and then suddenly this. How did you cope mentally with this news?
Well, one thing I learned quite quickly, and I think one thing that we all know, is that cancer doesn't care.
Totally indiscriminate.
They don't care who you are, your background, your age. It doesn't care. Cancer's cancer, right? And it will come if it finds a place. And then, of course, I learned how it spreads and so on and so forth. But, cancer doesn't care. Colour, doesn't care. Age, don't care.
How long from the doctor saying, okay, you need to remove?
Mm. Yeah, so what happened? You found out the news, they wanted to do it immediately. You then drove back to London to speak to your family.
Yeah, I spoke to a lot of people on the phone. I was on my own on the way home. I wasn't massively surprised. How can I word this? I wasn't... But I was not shocked. It was one of those, I knew something was up. I knew something wasn't right just by the whole nature of just what the background I've just told you about, the doctor, people waiting for. I knew something was not quite fitting the way it should. And by the time I drove home and got home, I had a lot of time to think around the M25 and all that sort of stuff. And I got home and then you got the conversation. But I was actually, I wasn't in a bad place. I wasn't, you know, hysterical. I was, look, I'm fit. Like you just said,
you were scared.
No, not at all. It was. I felt at the time. Now, if you tell me now I've got cancer, I'll be scared. Right, I'm 53 next week. I know, look, for it. I don't look like that. But at that time, at 20, you feel as an athlete, you feel bulletproof.
You can overcome everything.
You do. You do. Naively, you do think you're bulletproof. And my attitude to being ill at that time, if I was told the same news now, my reaction would be completely different.
Were your teammates supportive?
Well, Rory, I didn't tell them at the time. So it was, obviously I had to have the operation. Was removed completely from the squad. No one knew why. It was obviously a personal and very sensitive topic and situation for me and my family. And a lot of the journalists were asking questions. Where's Jason? Why is he not in the squad? Mm. Why is he didn't limp off? There's no injury report. They thought that I'd been done for a drug test. That's what they thought. I spoke to a lot of journalists at the time. When someone goes just disappears from being in a squad to not even being anywhere near training, there's red flags.
And,
right?
And so nobody knew. Like that, obviously the journalists didn't know because it's a private issue. But the teammates, you didn't.
So what happened? So I went in for the operation on the Tuesday, and it took 10 days for the biopsy to come back and the results, and. I knew at that stage that it was testicular cancer. I'd just done enough research. I just knew. Yeah. So I went to the doctor and he sat down. I was with my wife. I mean, it's devastating for her. He said, unfortunately, the tumour is cancerous and you've got testicular cancer. My wife just absolutely just broke down. And I remember sitting there and I wasn't in that area. I wasn't there. I wasn't that at that stage. And I'm like, okay, how do we deal with this? Mm. Where do we go with this? What happens next? I'm not going to die here now, am I? I'm still alive. I played on Saturday two weeks ago.
Had a clean sheet,
for God's sakes. So where do we go from here? And once you know all of the details, and once you start to find out about as it spread, that's the first one, right? It was a stage one. So I was lucky. It was in the ball. Because it's in the ball, it didn't spread. It can spread. John Hartson, he had testicular cancer. Yeah. He ignored a lot of the red flags from what I can gather. I don't want to talk on his behalf, but he went through, he went to his brain, he went everywhere, right? And cancer will spread untreated. But on the when we were told on the Monday, I had to go back to Portland Road.
You're scaring me. You're making me want to check now. Like, I'm, as you said, because we don't check.
I think we all check a lot without necessarily
without knowing
checking.
We're checking, like the way, like you, the said way you checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just.
But we should check, right? This is something that we have to do.
Well, this is the mess over the years that I've done, because what everyone's balls are different, right? So you've got to know your own body, and this goes for females as well. Know your own body. What changes are there? You'll know your changes because you felt them the day before or the week before, or whatever it was. I noticed within, it's like, what is that? How can it be so big, hard and heavy? It was like a ball bearing.
Mm. I do wonder though, if you weren't a football team and had a club doctor, I wonder how many guys would go to the doctors.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Mm. And I was in the privileged position that I could go and speak to qualified physios, doctors, on call. Yeah. I had them there, and I walked in, spoke to the physio. He wasn't qualified. That's not his business. And it looked odd. I have to say, it looked very odd. But
we
my
can
message
laugh now. See, now you're saying.
But my message to any young man or young woman, any changes in your body that you notice, that weren't there the day before or the week before, go and speak to someone qualified. I was privileged. I had every day doctors and physios. The everyday man doesn't have that. Yeah. He's got to make the effort, especially after COVID, how difficult it is to go and see a doctor. You've got to make the effort. You've got to make a phone call. And now, because it's so hard to see someone, there's even more effort. And you've got to really... So don't ignore it. Do not just accept it as something that might... Like, I thought I had stitches and the infection in my groin. Any normal man that plays football on a Saturday or Sunday, he may well say, do you know what? I've got that.
It's all linked. There. It's an injury.
Naively what I thought.
I'm young, I'm fit.
Go and see a doctor. They're there to help you.
And you know, so the testicle came out, they removed your testicle in your mid-20s and that left you with one.
Yep.
How did that, one is enough, isn't it, to reproduce, in terms of the functioning
I've
of
I've got
the
another story, I'll tell you about that in a second.
Okay, I'm intrigued. But in terms of the recovery, so one was removed, what's the story from that point on? Did you...
So, I woke up that next, after it, it's the most pain I've ever been in. It was just... I came out of a coma and the pain was just unbelievable. And I was on morphine and I went back to sleep. But then after that, the ball's gone, right? So the cancerous ball is gone. Mm. Next step, what is it? Got to have chemo. So then...
Well, that's not enough. You like removing
I thought that
the
stops yeah. everything.
No. Why do you need chemo?
Because I had cancerous cells in my body.
Oh mate!
So I went for X-rays, and the X-rays revealed that thankfully it hadn't spread. Mm. It was stage one. There was all sorts of went through all sorts of scans and so on, and it hadn't spread. But they can't be sure. So what I went through at that time, I went through what was called a trial. of a massive blast of chemotherapy. So there was a bigger amount of it, but one dose. Yeah. So I stayed, so I didn't lose my hair, but I stayed in, so I went to Ipswich 10 days later after I was told it was cancerous. And I went in, intravenous drip, it took maybe an hour, hour and a half to go through. And it was very odd because where I in the hospital in Ipswich, we were playing at home that night and I'm listening to the game on the radio. Oh. And I'm sitting there listening. And I'm like, I'm having chemo. And my mates
are
playing.
Are you then thinking about football? Are you thinking about whether you're going to play? Going through chemo. Like, are you thinking maybe not playing again?
No.
Is that even crossing your mind? No.
No, I want to get back. I'm like. So this was like in February, right? So I had the chemo in the March. And because of the chemotherapy can kill your sperm, I froze some sperm. Right? So I froze it just in case... I was only a young man, had one child. froze the sperm. So I stayed in hospital for a couple of days. It kills you. The chemo kills you. Literally, it just...
That's what it does, doesn't it? It takes you to the brink.
All your energy gone, sort of wiped, nothing left.
Yeah, it wiped me out. And I was expecting it. And you know, that was part of what I was expecting to go through. But on the day that I was told it was cancerous, I went to Portman Road and I sat down with the physio, David Sheepshanks, who was the chairman at the time, and George Burley was the manager. And I had to go in there and say to them, I've got cancer. Right.
What did George think you were for the last 3-4 weeks? What's he thinking?
Well, we were in the top. We were going for a promotion at the time, so we're like going top of the table, second, third. You know, the championship, right? It's a crazy league, right? So we're going for automatic promotion. All I'm thinking of is, can I get back for the end of the season? Can I find a way back? Can I get myself back somehow? So eventually, we made it to the playoffs, and I tried to get back into training. Honestly, what a joke that was. I couldn't run. Move.
Just because the chemo had wiped you out to such a level?
Yeah. I mean, it just absolutely whacked me.
To build yourself back up to be an athlete at the very top is incredible. Mm. How was that journey to get back?
Well, I mean, chemotherapy is a powerful drug. Right, it's got to be, because it's got to go in there. Yeah. It's got to kill cancer, right? Yeah. So what happened was, I tried to get back for the playoffs. I couldn't. I knew after about 10 minutes, I've got no chance. Yeah. Absolutely no chance. So yeah, it was that was the most devastating. That I cried when I found out that I couldn't get back to playing on that season. That was the lowest point for me at that time, because I didn't feel ill. I didn't feel ill. I wasn't ill. I was gravely ill, but I didn't feel it. So So you don't feel sick. You feel fit. You feel strong. I played with cancer. Why can't I go back after? Why can't? But it was a non-runner. Completely non-runner.
The reaction from fans, media, players. What was the reaction?
Well, obviously something had to be said, because I wasn't playing anymore, and I was. We're now talking like 5-6 weeks, right? And I'm like, what's going on? Where is he? Yeah. Imagine any player, any club that disappears off the face of the earth, not training, can't. I had journalists phoning me. I couldn't speak to him. Right?
Why not, Jace?
Because at that time it just wasn't right. There was a lot of things. It wasn't fair to my mum and dad. Because there's a lot going on, you know, my wife, my family, and...
It's not a shared experience either, is it? Like, this is something that's so personal. It's incredibly personal wherever on your body it is. But this in particular, it makes it... I think it's amplified by the fact that it's your testicles.
Yes.
Like, this isn't a news story. This is very much a personal experience and a traumatic one at that. This isn't something that I'm going to share for...
No, the time had to be right. The time had to be right. I had to know all the facts before I went public. And all the facts were, can you recover, right? How do we go about this? What's the next step? How do I move forward? So all of this stuff had to be in place. So I had the chemotherapy. And as I said, it wiped me out. And I went and had checkups later on. Thankfully, it hadn't spread. And I was given the, not the all clear, that's not quite right, but you are in remission. That's the term, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to then go public. I'd done a piece in a newspaper and told my story about what it was, about how it happened. And then all of a sudden, everyone knows now, but they know, because I know all the facts, and all the facts that I've got, I could tell them. There were no stories knocking about why is Jason gone? What's happened there? Why is he missing? So all the facts came out, and that was the point where we could actually, everyone could move forward.
Mm. Right.
Everyone.
And then what was this? Then it's about becoming a footballer to your maximum again.
Yeah, trying to get back. Rory, when I was going through the chemotherapy and I had that time off, I decided that I was going to just try and live my life, would go out. It's amazing. I'd go out for meals every night.
Yeah.
you're not cooking, right? Yeah. I'm off. I've got cancer, right? Right. I'm not training tomorrow, yeah. Right? Let's go out. Let's just enjoy this. Let's try and enjoy. So we've done as much as we could. Went on holiday, done as much as we could to enjoy, but I've got to get back to my career, right? Yeah. So then that came that process where I came back and had the pre-season. Tough pre-season.
Did Ipswich get promotion that year?
No, we didn't. We lost in the playoffs.
Was you scared that the club were going to look at you different?
No, not at all. They were absolutely magnificent. Mm. They were magnificent. The chairman, the fans, the players, everyone. I can't speak highly enough of everyone at that club at that time.
Would you extend that to football? Did you find football as supportive, or was this a specifically interesting?
Well, you're not a football fan. This is interesting. Yeah.
Well, there were a couple of chances about me having one ball. There was a couple of chances. He's only got one ball, but you know, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I'm not. You know, that's what football.
What about opposing players?
No, they were fine. Yeah, why is he actually? When we played Chelsea in the League Cup the following season, and someone went down injured, and why has he come up to me? He said to me, "Show us your one ball."
I love that man so much.
He came up to me. He's pulling my shorts. show me one ball. He did. That is amazing. But look, everyone was brilliant. You know, you can't joke about that sort of stuff, right? Mm. You can't joke. But the following season, we played away at, I think, I can't remember what it was. And after about 40 minutes, I could feel I was in trouble, struggling fitness-wise. And after about 15 minutes of the second half, I scored an own goal.
Aye.
Right, and I remember it, and it was a cross, and I could just feel, I'm just in all sorts of trouble, and I couldn't get there, got a toe in it. Anyway, George, but it was the right thing to do. I was in a mile of trouble. He said, "Off you come," right? So I went in and sat. And I remember sitting in the dressing room, Bradford away,
yeah.
And we were sitting there thinking, "Oh my God, I am miles away from being fit. Miles, miles away." So if you're struggling at 35, 40 minutes, and then 10 minutes later in the second half, you score an own goal because you're struggling, you know something's not right. Anyway, we had a League Cup game the midweek, and I didn't play that. I trained. And then slowly but surely.
Getting back.
I could just feel myself getting back to that.
Engine starting
you,
up again.
You could. And this was like four games in that I'm talking about. After about six, seven, eight, maybe 2 months, I could feel myself back to where I was. So there was no ill effects. I recovered. That's how I felt. I'd recovered.
But was there a cloud? Were you worried that it was going to... Because you're not clear. You're in remission.
I'm in remission, yeah. And because I went through this trial period, it was very successful. And it's, as far as I'm aware now, it's still one of... it was pioneering what I went through. But as far as I'm aware, it's still being used now. One big blast. If it's caught at a certain stage, there's so many different layers. Yeah, yeah. No one's person's case is the same.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store or via the app.
You know, you said at the start, obviously cancer will find anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at you said you're 53, you're so fit still though. Is there a part of you that changed your lifestyle and your eating habits and et cetera, because of what happened?
No, I wouldn't say that changed. I was, you were, at that time, even though football was what it is today, and the science that's behind it and the nutrition and everything, it definitely changed. You can't go through that experience without it changing. And I remember there was a long period where things didn't matter anymore. You know, where's, does it matter? What really matters? What really, really, really matters? And I think we all go through life experiences, and I think it changes us all. Mm. But at that time, I just wanted to be. Once I came out of it, and I could feel that I was the best I could be. Mm. It was, I knew I'd recovered at that time.
I think it's incredibly courageous and beneficial to everyone else to hear you talk like this.
I do feel it's my role. I feel like it's my duty to talk about it. I've got no problems talking about it. I'm very open, very honest. I don't have any, I'm not particularly worried about what people think about me. Mm. I'm actually quite open, and I believe it's my role to talk openly about this so that young men can hear this story and check themselves. And there's also a good story because back when I froze the sperm, I actually fathered another boy, James, who works here at Talk Sport. But my then wife, we split, and I met a new girl, and she didn't have children. And two years after I retired through a knee injury, my oncologist at the time in Southampton said, I want you to go in for a biopsy on the other side because I think there's a chance you could get testicular cancer in the other ball. So I went for a biopsy. This would have been in 2002-ish. And I went for a biopsy in the other ball, and it revealed that I was going to get testicular cancer in the other ball as well.
Oh, mate.
So this is rare. I mean, we're talking less than 1,000 cases a year in this country that this happens to. So I had two choices. So I had two children. You're going to get cancer. It's a question of when, not if. You're going to get it. It might happen tomorrow, might happen next week, might happen next year, might happen 3 years, but you're going to get cancer in the other ball again, right? So if you lose both balls as a man, you're in big trouble. Mm. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that goes on. Testosterone, you can only imagine, right? You can only imagine the difficulty. So when I was told that, it was a simple choice. So I had radiotherapy in the other ball. So it killed the other ball. So I can no longer now naturally father children. Mm. Fast forward X amount of years, my wife and I split, I meet someone else. And there's some frozen sperm.
Yeah, from a few years back.
17 years sitting in the freezer.
Is that how long ago it was?
And little Leonardo, who's now seven, he's eight next week, was a product of that frozen sperm.
Amazing.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
That's incredible. Isn't that crazy? I got some sperm 17 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to. It makes complete sense.
At 100%. But I didn't know that I was back in...
Yeah, but so does the other ball, having had the radiotherapy, it functions? You know, all of the things that you suggested that a ball needs to do?
It functions.
Yeah.
But it produces dead sperm.
But it also produces everything else that it needs to produce to keep your hormone levels.
So I have to take a gel. So there's a gel I've got to take every single day. Mm. It's like putting on deodorant, right? So I take a hormone gel. So my hormone levels, I went through a period about 3 years ago where I changed as a person. I didn't know what was going on. I was in a bad way personally, anxious. Mm. Found myself nearly in tears over nothing. Worried about things, and I said to my wife, this is not right. I've got to go and find out what's happening here. So I went for blood tests, and the blood tests revealed that my hormone levels were off the clock. Mm. Wherever the hormone levels should be, I literally was. I was at the basement, and it took about 6 weeks of taking this hormone gel And that absolutely, so that was a game changer for me.
Right. See, this is a thing, another thing that I'm happy you mentioned is that men just won't.
But this
do.
Is but this
men
is why it's so important. This is why it's so important to hear, you know, somebody like you saying this. Geezer, footballer, if it's you, it's so much more powerful. Yeah. Like, if it can happen to you, it can happen to anyone. You're an athlete who's at the top of his game, fit as a fiddle, mm-hmm. playing top-class football mm-hmm. for established clubs, mm-hmm. and you're telling this story. Like, this is, anybody that ever has to deal with this, it's just a lottery. It happens to anyone.
Rory, yeah. this is the thing, but as I said earlier, it doesn't discriminate. Can yeah. say, it doesn't discriminate. And you've got to, if you feel or there's something wrong, I speak to friends of mine now, I'm much older now, of course, but my mates, and they say, and I speak to them about how you're feeling, and I said, go for a blood test. Blood tests, yeah. that might reveal something.
Yeah.
Don't not react on it. Go and speak. There are people that are getting paid. There are doctors out there. There's people out there to help. They're getting, that's why the NHS is there. Go and speak to people.
Do you know what my missus is doing for me on my next birthday, genuinely?
I don't know.
She's hopefully
is she checking you out?
Hopefully that. Hopefully that. But the other thing that she's going to do is I'm getting an MOT on my body. Like,
so important.
Like the present, effectively. So important. I'm getting of an age now where I think I could do with a little once over and make sure that everything's...
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, like, why not do
you
it?
You get your watch done, you get your car done, yeah. you get all your, everything else you get you don't get the body done.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Everything else you get, you know, you go in and
why
have it.
Why do you think men avoid it so much?
Because
I've got sisters who regularly will go and do their test. They do their smear test as well. They do all of that.
But you know what?
Men don't do anything.
I think we're getting better though, mate.
Are we?
I do. So when I first was diagnosed with cancer, I went to a fire station and spoke to the whole group that were there, not just men, but majority of, but there were women there as well. And I went and spoke to them about it, and I had a conversation with them, open conversation about why don't men talk about it? We don't talk about it because there's this stereotypical type of what man has got to be. He's got to put food on the table. He's got to be the breadwinner. There's the pressures of man having to be the husband, the dad.
The going provider.
The provider. And things have changed now. We're not living in that same world. You know,
If you are like that, you can still do this.
100%.
Even if you are quite traditional in your roles, still get yourself checked out.
Yeah.
Still talk about these things. It's fine.
We are better, right? I've noticed a change in the last 15, 20 years. You guys are doing this brilliant show, right? You're doing it there, and people listening to this, it's a great way to send that message out. But we are getting better. There's no doubt, but we can still do better.
We certainly can.
We can still do better.
We certainly can. Jace, honestly, fascinating.
This has been my favourite episode.
Oh,
thank you so much for coming on.
This is the father's one. It's close. This could edge it.
So transparent,
it?
So honest. Thank you very much.
Listen, it's my job to talk. I believe it's my role to talk about these things and, you know, get it out there. So.
And not many do, Jason, so I really appreciate you doing it for us.
Thank you, guys.
Honestly, thank you. Wow, that's an episode of the Men's Room podcast, isn't it? Thank you so much to Jason Cundy, as always, to my man, Rory Jennings. Remember to download the podcast from wherever you download your podcast from. And if, like me, as always say this, if you want to watch it, you can watch it on TalkSport's YouTube channel as well. Thank you so much once again to Jason Cundy sharing that story. Thank you.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.